Hello and welcome to The Late Debate with me, Audrey Carville. Coming up on the programme tonight, the Taoiseach responds to the whistleblower dossier.
Now, I am determined that public confidence in these fundamental institutions be maintained and be rebuilt. And the best way of achieving that is to establish the truth.
The government, the Gardaí and the whistleblower. Our late debate tonight after the news. It's read now by Ray Kennedy.
Thank you, Audrey. Good evening from the newsroom. The Fianna Fáil leader, Micheál Martin, has said Taoiseach Enda Kenny confirmed to him tonight that the Garda whistleblower, Sergeant Maurice McCabe, would be interviewed by the barrister Sean Guerin as part of his investigation into alleged Garda malpractice. Earlier, the Taoiseach confirmed the government had appointed Mr. Guerin to examine the claims. Mr. Kenny said that he would report back by Easter, and if Mr. Guerin recommended a commission of inquiry, one would be established. The outgoing president of the Irish Hotels Federation, Michael Vaughan, has said the hotel industry has 3,000 job opportunities that need to be filled. He was speaking at the Federation's annual conference. Mr. Vaughan said the opportunities included front-of-house jobs and those involving culinary skills. He said that an additional 75,000 tourism jobs could be created by 2020.
We have 3,000 opportunities available for people to come off the live register, be trained into our industry and have a real career in hospitality. And if we reach 10 million tourists by 2020, which is a real prospect now, because the travel tax is gone and there's other opportunities, we will be employing 75,000 more people in this industry. And that's real opportunity for growth and for employment.
The firms bidding for the mortgage book of Irish Bank Resolution Corporation have agreed to sign up to the Central Bank's Code of Conduct if their bids are successful. The bank's liquidators say the agreement reached would see winning firms service the loans in accordance with the Central Bank's Code of Conduct on mortgage arrears. The liquidators say they noted concern expressed by the mortgage holders and politicians in recent weeks. In Turkey, riot police have fired tear gas and water cannon to disperse thousands of protesters in the city of Istanbul. They were calling for the Prime Minister, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, to step down as the fallout from a corruption scandal intensified.
RTE Radio 1 weather with Liberty Insurance. Hit the road happy with Great Value Motor Insurance.
Showers in West Munster tonight. Persistent rain will develop in Ulster and Connacht later in the night. Mainly dry elsewhere. Windy near the west coast, but winds will ease further east. Frost in southern areas. Lowest temperatures 1 to 5 degrees. And there's a warning of west to southwest winds reaching gale force early tonight on coastal waters from Slinehead to Rossan Point to Fairhead. Mainly dry tomorrow with sunny spells, but wet and windy weather will develop in the west in the afternoon and extend to all areas through the evening. That's the news and weather.
Ray, thank you very much. You're very welcome back to The Late Debate with me in studio tonight. Solicitor Frank Buttermer, he's actually in our Cork studio with me here in Dublin. Jim Cusack, security journalist with the Sunday Independent. Fianna Fáil TD Dara Cailleary and Labour TD Anne Ferris, who is vice chair of the Oireachtas Justice Committee. Well, the Garda whistleblower controversy dominated events in the Dáil again today. Garda Sergeant Maurice McCabe compiled a dossier of cases back in 2008, which he believed had been mishandled or not investigated properly by the Gardaí. It was reported to the then confidential recipient 6 years ago. Two senior Gardaí investigated the cases, sent them to the DPP, who decided not to bring any charges. The Garda Síochána Ombudsman Commission also investigated them and again decided there was insufficient evidence to prosecute. The cases in that dossier have formed the basis for subsequent dossiers sent by Sergeant McCabe to the Department of Justice in 2012 and from Micheál Martin to Enda Kenny last week. Well, today in the Dáil, Mr. Martin demanded to know what the Taoiseach intended doing about it. The Fianna Fáil leader said he had met with the family of Sylvia Roach Kelly, whose murder in 2007 was committed by a man on bail and whose case is one of those detailed in the dossier. This was the Taoiseach's response.
I think everybody can understand how sensitive and important this is for people who are the victims of crime, particularly the family of a good woman who was murdered. No more than the victims of any other crime committed throughout the country, people have a right to have a trust and a confidence in the justice system that we have. And public confidence in An Garda Síochána and in its oversight is something that is of that is rightly an issue of great importance to this House and the members who serve here. In recent weeks, a number of events have served to weaken and to undermine that confidence. Now, I am determined that public confidence in these fundamental institutions be maintained and be rebuilt. And the best way of achieving that is to establish the truth in all of these matters. So to this end, the government today made three decisions. Firstly, we approved an amendment to the Protected Disclosure Bill, which is currently before the House, which will enable serving Gardaí to bring complaints directly to the Garda Síochána Ombudsman Commission. Secondly, we decided that pending the enactment of this legislation, an interim confidential recipient will be appointed to receive complaints from serving Gardaí. The Minister for Justice was mandated to proceed with the required consultation with those who have to be consulted with so that an appointment can proceed quickly. And thirdly, we decided to appoint Mr. Shane Geeran SC, an experienced and respected criminal lawyer, to conduct an assessment of the various issues and allegations that have been raised by Sergeant Maurice McCabe since 2008. As members are aware, Deputy Martin gave me material from Garda McCabe last week, which contained very serious allegations against members of the force. I'm aware, as is everyone else, that the good sergeant has been in contact with the Garda authorities, with GSOC, the Department of Justice, the Department of Transport, the Department of the Taoiseach, the Public Accounts Committee, other members of the Oireachtas and the media, as is his right. Much of that correspondence related to the penalty points issue, which was the subject of the report conducted by Garda Assistant Commissioner O'Mahony, which was published last year. The issues raised in the material given to me by Deputy Martin, by you, do not relate to penalty points. Most of the incidents mentioned have now been publicised in the media, whether in the newspaper reports or on television. They include a number of very serious allegations against people, including serving members of the Garda Síochána, which I am not in a position to either investigate or to verify. Many of these allegations have been the subject of investigation by senior Gardaí, by the Garda Ombudsman Commission, and are by the Director of Public Prosecutions. In some cases, people have been tried and people have been convicted. In addition, we must all be mindful that there are currently at least two court cases ongoing which relate directly to these issues. In dealing, therefore, with these matters, it's important for us to remember that these were not victimless crimes. They have been very painful for families and for victims. Deputy Martin's alluded to that directly. That's why I regard the issues of Cian Chóla as being very serious, and I've considered them carefully. However, I'm not in a position to verify the veracity or to investigate the claims, nor would it be feasible nor appropriate for me to seek to investigate whether and how these matters were dealt with by the Garda authorities, the GSOC and the DPP, all of whom are quite properly independent in the conduct of their responsibilities. I am, however, acutely conscious that the scale of the public discussion around these matters could have implications for confidence in the administration of justice in our country. There is a need to address these concerns and to put in place a process that can do so quickly and effectively. And for that reason, the government has asked an independent objective legal expert, Mr. Sean Geeran SC, to examine and assess all the relevant papers and to recommend what further action might be taken. If he recommends a commission of investigation should be established, this will be done. The terms of reference for this work are currently being finalised. The report, which will be completed before the Easter recess, hopefully, will be laid before the Oireachtas by me and published. I believe that this is a prudent way to proceed in view of all of the comments and allegations and documents that surround these matters. In addition, the government agreed last week that recent events have now given rise to a clear need to review the operation of the oversight structure and the relevant legislation. And that is why the proposed public hearings by the Oireachtas Justice Committee into these matters are crucial, and I hope that they can commence as soon as possible at Cian Chóla. Judge Cook may also make recommendations in that regard, as may Mr. Geeran. It is my intention that the government will bring forward proposals for the reform of the current Garda oversight and complaints systems by the summer. It's my clear view that the current system is not working as effectively as our citizens and as our police force deserve and that our democracy requires. It must be modernised and reformed. Now, tomorrow, Deputy Martin, I intend to have statements here in the House all day, except for leaders' questions, and they will be led off by the Minister for Justice, who is quite happy to attend and who will finish up the conclusion of those statements with a question and answer session for any members of the House who wish to ask him.
Thank you. Deputy Martin. Thank you, Taoiseach, for your reply. And could I put it to you, Taoiseach, that of course I accept that you're not in a position in any shape or form to arbitrate or to test the veracity of the very serious material that's in the dossier that you have. But of course, that material was with the Minister 2 years ago. And of course, it was with the confidential recipient over 2 years ago and was supplied to him. And you know, Taoiseach, having read it, that the material jumps out at you. And it's not satisfactory to say that because a person was convicted of murder in one instance, that that's the end of the matter. That misses the point entirely, as you know. And that is why your senior counsel will not have a statutory basis, Taoiseach, will not have powers of compellability, and so on and so on. And the only vehicle that can enable you or enable the government or indeed the Oireachtas to do that is a commission of investigation under the Commission of Investigation Act of 2004. And I think it has proven to have the capacity to investigate these matters, which are very, very serious, and you have acknowledged them, to be fair, as being very, very serious. It's the only vehicle to do it, Taoiseach, effectively, efficiently, and with confidence. Because the victims and the families of the victims, at least the family I met, their big fear, simply, Taoiseach, is that this will all be covered up again. That's a basic... I'm just making the point to you, Taoiseach, from a lay person's perspective, that's how they look at the world.
Question, thank you.
That's how they look at desktop reviews and they see all the kind of palaver and the, you know, the general language around all of that. And unfortunately, that's the conclusion they will be afraid of. And I think, Taoiseach, what I noted from your reply is that you have not ruled out a commission of investigation. May I say I would have been happier if the government had appointed the senior counsel and given his task as one of scoping out the basis for a commission of investigation, which I think would be a stronger position and one that could quite readily be done. And it's one that would have my support if the role and function of that senior counsel is to scope out the basis for the initiation of a commission of investigation and also that he would meet the key people concerned and engage with them.
Thank you.
Yeah. I don't think that there's any difference of opinion about what we want to do here, Deputy Martin, or for anybody else in the House. We need to have the truth of these matters. We need to have confidence and credibility and integrity in both the Garda Síochána, in the conduct of their affairs on behalf of the people of the nation, and also in respect of the GSOC. Now, see, when you gave me this documentation just last week, we now have a response to it as to what we intend to do. I am not in a position to have the documentation from the DPP or from the GSOC. These are completely independent bodies of this House. Obviously, the Garda Síochána, on the directions of the Commissioner, investigated quite a number of the allegations that were made. But the report that I have here in respect of assaults and the conduct of Gardaí and that is directly contradictory to those findings. So who am I to believe here? So in the interests of having answers for people so that clarity is brought to this, that's why Mr. Geeran, SC, who is an experienced criminal lawyer, will assess the investigative methods that were carried out on the papers that are available to him. And I expect that everybody will cooperate with this, both in terms of the Gardaí, the DPP, who are relevant, the GSOC, and the confidential recipient, plus the Department of Justice. And what I have in mind there, Deputy Martin, is that the SC, and with the criminal lawyer's practice, would look at that process and make recommendations, present a report to me as Taoiseach, which I'll bring before the Oireachtas and have it debated publicly. And clearly, if his recommendations are that there is further work required here in terms of an investigation, then that shall be done. Because no more than what happened on a number of occasions in the past where a scoping exercise of merit was carried out, justifying the setting up of investigations. That's what happened. Indeed, as you're well aware, that's what happened in the case of the scoping exercise that led to the Commission of Inquiry in the Morris Tribunal in Donegal many years ago. Well, what will happen now, Deputy Martin, is that the SC will start work immediately. Hopefully, a lot of paper here that he can report to me before Easter, and that we can decide then what is the best thing to do here. As I said, the GSOC and the DPP are utterly independent of this House. But I do expect that in a matter of public interest here, where investigations have taken place, and some of these allegations, as you're aware, have been investigated by the Commissioner, by the GSOC in part or in full, or by the DPP. So that work has been done. So now it's necessary, in the interests of truth and credibility, to have the truth established here. You started off by asking the question in respect of the family of a good woman who was murdered. I feel for that as well. And obviously, every person in the House, irrespective of who they represent, understands that we need clarity, integrity and credibility. And I hope that this can lead to that. As I said, Deputy Shatter, in respect of the documentation that he received from the confidential, from the whistleblower, read that on the 23rd of January, responded on the 24th of January, and received a very long piece of correspondence from the Garda Commissioner in respect of investigations that had taken place in regard to the matters mentioned in that letter.
Thank you.
And Minister Shatter will deal with that tomorrow morning when he opens the statements here, Deputy Mayor.
And Taoiseach Enda Kenny in the Dáil this afternoon. Well, that exchange came less than 24 hours after Sergeant McCabe directly contradicted Commissioner Callanan's statement that he gave him a directive to cooperate with the investigation into the penalty points issued by Assistant Commissioner John O'Mahony. And a transcript of Sergeant McCabe's conversation with his superior officer communicating a message from the Commissioner to the Sergeant is published in today's Irish Examiner. Anne Ferris of Labour, you're Vice Chair of the Oireachtas Justice Committee. How much longer can Martin Callanan stay in his job?
Well, I think what the Taoiseach did today, coming into the Dáil and saying that he's appointed Sean Gearan to start looking at all the paperwork that Micheál Martin gave him last week, is the start of this process. This process has been rumbling on now for a number of weeks, starting with the GSOC surveillance question. I think today is the start of the process.
But how long can Martin Callanan stay in his job, in your view?
Well, I think that we have to wait and see what Mr. Gearan comes, after he examines all the papers, what he says after that, whether there is a full investigation needed. I don't want to be putting anybody on the block just yet, no matter who they are.
How damaged is Martin Callanan, though?
Well, I think that the whole question is about the Commissioner, and people are raising it time and time again, that the only person that the Commissioner reports to is the Minister for Justice. And, I don't think that's a very healthy situation, and I've always said that publicly.
But how damaged is Martin Callanan after the last number of weeks in particular? How damaged is he in your view?
Well, I think I don't want to say one way or the other until we have the answer to the investigation going on. I think certainly that there are a lot of questions to be answered, and I would like to hear those answers from the Commissioner.
Do you still have confidence in the Commissioner?
I'm going to just hold my judgment on that.
Why?
Because I think a lot of things have come out in the last couple of weeks. A lot of the Commissioner was before one of the Oireachtas committees. The Minister was before one of the Oireachtas committees. We're hearing the Commissioner and the Minister say certain things. We're hearing the whistleblower saying certain things. We're hearing GSOC saying certain things. So nothing is clear yet. And I really want to get to the bottom of that.
But you're not in a position to say, yes, you have confidence in him.
No, I'm not. I'm not saying I have confidence, and I'm not saying I don't have confidence. I want to get the answers. And I think, apart from myself, the public out there want to have confidence back in the Garda Síochána and in GSOC and the Minister for Justice and in the government and everybody, so we have got to get to the bottom of this.
And do you accept in any way that your government's handling of this issue over the last number of weeks has been fundamental in undermining the public confidence in the administration of justice here?
I think it has dragged on unnecessarily. I am, as I said at the beginning, starting from the Sunday Times newspaper article about the GSOC surveillance, and then, you know, why didn't GSOC report that to the minister? Why then they closed down the investigation and we still don't know whether they had been bugged or not? That was like closing down a murder trial and the perpetrator still out there. A lot of things have been rumbling on. And every single day we're hearing new allegations from one side or the other, or and statements being made. And the public at large out there really do not know what's going on.
But has it dragged on largely because your government has treated the concerns largely with a great degree of hostility?
I don't think so. I think we did have the Taoiseach appointing the government appointing Justice Cook to look at the whole.
That was only last Thursday.
That was only last Thursday, and then we had the leader of Fianna Fáil, Deputy Martin, handing the dossier over to the Taoiseach. And the Taoiseach spent the weekend looking at that.
But so, Alan Shatter had that dossier for 2 years.
Well, so they say, yes. And I'm looking forward to listening to...
Well, he had. I mean, it was sent to the Department of Justice 2 years ago.
Well, it was sent to the Department. But I am looking forward to tomorrow to hear Minister Shatter, the statement he's going to make in the Dáil. And I welcome the fact that there will be...
Do you not want to know what he's been doing with it for the last
two
years?
Well, I would hope that he would tell us that tomorrow.
Dara Cailleary, let me turn to you. In relation to what the Taoiseach said in the Dáil today, in particular the 3 points that he mentioned, changing the law to allow Gardaí to complain directly to GSOC, this interim confidential recipient which had already been announced, and then the appointment of the senior counsel to investigate whether or not an inquiry is necessary. Is that good enough in your book?
No, Audrey, it's not, because as you said, the allegations and the issue's actually been going on for since 2007 now. And, you know, in the last number of weeks, this issue is separate from the GSOC bugging issue. Firstly, it's separate from the Cook inquiry. It is a totally different issue. The fact that the Taoiseach came in today, appointed the senior counsel, who seems to be very, very good criminal background, has no terms of reference ready. You know, didn't have any kind of hopes it's going to be finished by Easter. Was not able to give us any idea of the kind of resources this guy is going to have. Shows that it was really made up on the spot with a view to try and get through the minister. What we need, and what would have been far preferable if he had appointed Sean Gearan today to say, scope out for a commission of inquiry, to actually lay the groundwork for a commission of inquiry in the same way as was done for the Morris Tribunal. You know, that somebody went in and actually laid the way and called a commission of inquiry. The Taoiseach, you know, spoke about restoring, maintaining and rebuilding public confidence. The only way that's going to be done now is that all of these issues are dealt with in a commission of inquiry, which won't drag on. It'll be done quickly. It'll be done thoroughly. It'll give answers.
Frank Buttermer in Cork. Frank, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you.
What's your view on this, in particular in relation to Sergeant McCabe's allegations of mishandling of these cases and this dossier and what's in it? I mean, from what we know at this point, do you think it comes down to Garda incompetence or perhaps something more serious than that, systemic cover-up?
Yeah, I think myself that this is chickens coming home to roost. And I think that these systemic problems have been in existence for quite a number of years. And I believe that they would have been known to persons in authority as being in existence for a number of years. And by persons in authority, I mean various office holders, whether ranking members of Garda Síochána, whether politicians, whether members of GSOC, whether persons who work in the office of the DPP. I think that this... It has been brewing for a long, long time. And I also think myself that this is by no means confined to knowledge or information that has been in the possession of Sergeant McCabe or any... there are so many of these kinds of events that are a cause of fundamental concern that it is a relief to me as a citizen that finally... these matters are receiving the level of attention that they now appear to be receiving. I wouldn't be concerned so much about what might be regarded in some quarters as a sort of a knee-jerk reaction to the various pieces of information that have been coming out almost on a daily or hourly basis over the past 3 weeks. The reality is that that is almost unavoidable at this point in time because of the volume of detail that's coming through, the sporadic nature of it. But I think that what we need to look at here is what is required ultimately to restore confidence in what I might loosely describe as the system. The system is made up of component parts, all of which are to some degree independent of each other, but to some degree dependent upon each other in the way that checks and balances will exist. So that therefore, what I actually would like to say is that I welcome the fact that these matters are coming into the public domain. They have not been in the public domain to the extent that one could imagine they could have been almost, but by virtue of events that have occurred over the past 3 weeks, it has to be welcomed that what we're moving now towards, in a sense, is a realisation that there's a problem, and what we need to do as a society and what the government has to do is to put structures in place to ensure that these matters, which are of grave concern to individuals and who have known about these matters for a long, long period of time in some cases, will be properly addressed.
And Frank, how will it ultimately end? How will this episode ultimately end?
If it's properly addressed, this is so potentially so big in terms of the volume of detail, the volume of material that's out there, the volume of concern that exists in relation to individual cases, that I think that if this matter is to be addressed properly, it would be foolhardy to say how it will be addressed, what structures will be put in place. But the idea that the appointment, for example, of Mr. Guerin, who I'm sure is an eminent senior counsel, or the appointment of the retired judge John Cook, who is an eminently retired judge, that the idea that these people will have the capacity to address the massive issue which has to be addressed here, because let nobody underestimate it, this is a massive issue in terms of nationwide volume. And that's not to criticise the Gardaí. I mean, I work and I deal with the Guards every single day of my life, or my working life, and the Guards as a body are as affected by this as any other citizen, any other individual, any other grouping. What I find in my daily dealings with the Guards is that there's now almost a desire that something be done to reinstate confidence, to reinstate morale, to allow the ordinary, decent members of An Garda Síochána, ranking members who want to get on with their very, very difficult and busy jobs, they want this as much as anybody else.
So what are you saying, Frank, that you've been saying there that it's, you know, you welcome that this is finally out in the open?
Yeah, absolutely.
That what is finally out in the open?
That there have been concerns about the manner in which investigations have been conducted or not conducted. There are concerns about the manner in which crime has been prosecuted or not prosecuted. That there are concerns in relation to how there is oversight of An Garda Síochána, that there will be concerns amongst ordinary citizens about how crime is prosecuted by the Office of the DPP, certain decisions that are taken by the Office of the DPP in certain instances, which have undoubtedly led to concerns, confusion. And you see, what you don't appreciate really is that the effect of this is generally an effect on an individual citizen. So that individuals will be affected. And of course, individuals are generally voiceless. There's no organisation to look after individuals. So from time to time, an individual will be disgruntled, etc. But what can the individual do? But there are so many of these things now.
And are you saying it's systemic?
I am.
Right. Jim Cusack, do you agree?
I don't know if it goes as far as systemic, but there are terrible problems arising with investigations and Garda actions, and it's only I'm like Frank Buttermer. I'm kind of relieved that this has come out because it's brought to head a systemic problem, not so much within the Guards, but within the management of the Guards, and so they're. The Guards themselves are very good at sorting their problems out. And they were very good at exposing corruption or wrongdoing. And even before the Morris inquiry in Donegal, there was a chief superintendent who did an investigation, and everything that he uncovered and was just duplicated by Morris. And he recommended that five guards be brought before the courts. That was before the very lengthy inquiry. Now, one of the things that has happened with the guards is in 2006, the government introduced the Garda Síochána Act, which carries in it a sentence of up to 7 years imprisonment and a fine and or a fine of 75,000 for a guard who unlawfully discloses information. And from that point onwards, you got the guards. That also set up this bizarre little office, the confidential recipient. Now, Gardaí didn't know about that. No one told them. No one knew where it was. It was, it was Pat Rabbit raised it in the Dáil and finally realised that it existed and had an address in Dublin. But that put a freeze on the guards themselves, whistleblowing, because they took whistleblowing and unlawful disclosure to be the same thing. And there was a big prison sentence. Two guards were arrested and charged who were doing something that was their right as citizens to do.
Who were exposing wrongdoing
within the force? Well, one certainly was, and the other was just giving out information which he thought was for the benefit of the public. But the one certainly was a proper whistleblower in the most benign sense of it, in the most generous and honest sense of it, and she was arrested. So, and journalists are questioned, excuse me, on a regular basis about stories, two or three times a year, we're questioned. Who did you speak to in relation to this story? This goes on all the time. It's slightly intimidating, but it doesn't stop us. Nearly every crime journalist in this country has a second phone. Prepaid phone that's not registered in their name.
So what do you think
it's created this climate of introversion, and that allows bad practice to be covered up and to be systematically covered up.
So where are we at now? Is this a turning point?
Oh, I hope it is. Sergeant McCabe has raised issues here that do need to be addressed. Now, the case of the murder of that unfortunate woman,
Sylvia
Roach Kelly, that has certainly exposed a big problem with the information systems in the courts, the guards, and the prison service. They're not linked up. They're not joined up. So people, dangerous people are released on bail on a regular basis, and the guards don't know about it. And one hand doesn't know what the other is doing. They've spent a fortune on information technology in the last sort of 15 years. And they still haven't got it anywhere near right. So I'd say one of the things you'll find coming out of this here is recommendations that be sorted out post-haste. That's certainly the big issue I see in relation to this case.
I was just going to bring Frank Buttermer back in at this point. Frank, if what you're saying and Jim is saying is the truth, then this predates Martin Callanan's helm role at the top of the Garda Síochána. So is it right to call for his head?
No, it's not. He has to deal with the situation as the incumbent commissioner. And as you correctly point out, he has simply inherited a situation which he has to deal with. That's his job. If he goes, somebody else is simply going to have to come in and replace him. So, I think that's the kind of, and I don't want to use the word or the expression improperly, the knee-jerk reaction situation. If I could put it this way, he certainly has a case to answer insofar as these issues need to be addressed on the macro level rather than to get, and again I'm not being critical, hooked up in the minutiae of what's going on. I mean, this is a big picture issue. It's a big picture issue for the Gardaí, for the Ombudsman, for the Office of the Minister for Justice, not necessarily the incumbent minister, for the Office of the DPP. These are all interconnected agencies which are independent of each other, but who have to have relationships with each other, which are obvious. And what you have to look at here is individual cases. There are individual persons, individual circumstances concerned, but there's a common link. And therefore, I believe that we shouldn't be running around looking for resignations or heads or anything political like that. We need to step back. We need to assess what it is that this society needs so that a proper, detailed assessment can occur of the criminal justice system in the round.
But I suppose, Dara Cailleary, on the basis of Martin Callanan's performance on these issues over the last number of weeks, do you have confidence that he is the man to lead the force through this?
I think he should be given the chance until these inquiries are finished. You know, he has dropped a lot of balls. You wouldn't put him on the starting 15, but he should be left on the bench and he should be allowed to see this through. I think I think Frank is right. I was going to call him Jerry there. You know, just clearing the heads off the Titanic isn't going to save the Titanic from sinking. And what we need is a whole different review of the way management and the Gardaí are appointed. We've proposed a bill that will put their commissioner under the remit of GSOC as opposed to the minister of the day, and that will bring in changes like that. Will overhaul the whole operation of GSOC so that it takes it has a far stronger role in this whole area. So I think, you know, Sean Guerin should be allowed to get on with his job, preferably that the minister might take the opportunity tomorrow to say, look, these allegations are so serious that we're actually going to make Sean Guerin, he's going to scope out what this inquiry is going to look like. We're going to have a commission for inquiry because that's what we're going to end up with.
I
can nearly put
you,
money on with it now. We'll have an announcement over the Easter. There's going to be a commission of inquiry. So just get the work started now and let's deal with all of these issues. And if there are other issues out there, then let's deal with them in this realm as well. Resource it properly. You know, when you look at all of these issues have been looked at, have been investigated, is Sean Guerin on his own going to be able to do that? And is Sean Guerin going to be able to deal with the volume of complaints that are going to come in? I don't think so, unless we put a proper inquiry in place now.
Anne Ferris, do you first of all agree with Frank Buttermer's analysis there of a few minutes ago of the systemic problem within An Garda Síochána?
I do, and in fact, I can't argue with what Dara just said there either. I think this investigation, or the looking at all this paperwork, and as I said earlier, I haven't a clue what's in the paperwork, but we've been led to believe what's in it. There's a lot of things in that dossier. Sean Guerin is going to have to go through that, and he will have to be resourced properly. He's not going to be able to do that on his own. There is so much there. And I have no doubt that probably at the end of it, there will be an investigation, but we have to wait. That'll be his recommendation to government. If there's an investigation called, then we will, you know, the people will be compelled to answer to that investigation, to appear before it. There have been problems, you know, on Garda Síochána, there's over 13,000 people, men and women employed in on Garda Síochána. And you know, it's like any operation or any big corporation of that size. You're going to get the vast majority of people who are very, very honest, hardworking people, competent people. But you are going to get the bad apples, and they have to be rooted out and dealt with properly and not covered up at whatever level, whether it's at the top or by their own peers.
And do you believe that is what has happened, has been happening?
I am not sure whether a blind eye has been put on things or whether, you know, what has been happening. I really don't want to be speculating here. We are going to have the whole situation looked at. And I think this has been, as it's been said earlier, this is going back years and years and years. And at long last, we are going to get to the bottom of this. And I think if Mr. Guerin would be given time up to Easter to have a look at all these papers, make the recommendation to the government, if an inquiry needs to be done and set up, that would be great, because then we can get to the end of this.
But do you really believe, Anne, that you will get to the bottom of it this time? Because, I mean, you've been dragged kicking and screaming to this point and you're still not at a commission of inquiry.
Well, I think that we will get there, because the Taoiseach did say in the Dáil today that he wanted a result of this by Easter. And I think that's the deadline for that. I think Dara was saying earlier about coming into the Dáil today with no terms of reference, but today was the first day back in the Dáil since the weekend, since the Taoiseach had a look at these papers. I think that, you know, things have been slowly, yes, they have been moving slowly, but this is going back to 2007. And, you know, this government is only in power since 2011.
Okay,
now, sorry, just...
Go ahead.
But as I said earlier, if the minister... If I don't know whether the minister has had sight of these documents for the past 2 years, whether what he has done with them, but I look forward to seeing that. And also, I believe that the whole Garda Síochána Act of 2005 needs to be looked at again. It's coming into the Justice Committee.
It is.
And I am really looking forward, and we will get submissions from all interested parties to find out how that can be strengthened to protect the role of the Garda Síochána.
Okay, Derek Leary.
I just want to read you a quote, Rodri. These allegations, the allegations made are a festering sore on the integrity of the Gardaí, must be addressed and inquired into in an open and transparent forum. That was Alan Shatter in 2001 in relation to issues in Donegal at that stage. These issues are as serious. You know, they've happened post-Morris, where we're supposed to have this change of culture.
Was your government aware of it in 2008?
Because Dermot Hearn has made very clear today in the Irish Times that he wasn't. But these are, you know, he can be part of this. I think that's a conversation that needs to be had. And, you know, he's more than willing to do that. So we have no difficulty in that issue. But we need an inquiry. And a formal inquiry would actually allow somebody to speak to Secretary General's and Justice, to the ministers who were there at the time, to anybody who the Sergeant McCabe gave evidence to. A properly resourced inquiry would be able to look at the kind of inquiries and what efforts were made. Like you said there, that 10 of the 11 are investigated, 10 of the 11 allegations. What kind of investigations? Was it Gardaí looking into them? Gardaí investigating Gardaí? They will all have to be looked at and properly resourced. But let's get started tomorrow. Why do we have to wait for 6 weeks for somebody to sift through paperwork? If Sean Geeran is given proper terms of reference tomorrow, this can move into a situation where we get answers, where we get a chance to actually look at all of these issues properly. And, you know, the Taoiseach spoke of clarity, integrity and credibility today. That's what needs to come from an inquiry. And we're going to have an inquiry. I put the house on it.
And you agree with that, Frank?
Yeah, those are minute CA items, and I think that the bottom line is that the people and the government will have to decide what it is that needs to be looked into. The McCabe dossier material is certainly relevant, but there are many, many more issues and concerns. There are many, many more areas of the administration of justice which need to be considered other than the operations of an Garda Síochána. To restore confidence in the system. I could go into detail about that if needs be in terms of the broad situation that is out there. So I would hope that this is an opportunity that this government, I suppose, is lumped with in the end of the day to take a broader look at what we're dealing with in terms of the administration of justice and also what ultimately, what is the system of justice that we have all about? What feeds into it? How does it work? What are the powers? What are the levers? What are the connections? It's a very, very broad picture. It's nationwide. It isn't confined to the northern end of the country where the two so-called whistleblowers have been operating to date. Mm-hmm. That's not to say that I said this at the start, I deal with the guards every day. They have a very, very difficult, tricky job. They want this as much as anybody else because they have an interest in the operation of their job in the interests of the people. But it's just not confined to the guards. It's an across the boards issue.
But even, Frank, if there is a commission of inquiry and there's been so much resistance to that up until now and it's still not in place, obviously, and you know how slowly things change in this country.
I do.
I mean, what are you really going to see the changes that you want to see in the entire justice system?
Well, if we don't, we're going to have this again and again. We had it back in 2001, which seemed to be relating to the Gardaí. But if you looked at it back then as well, you'd also have to see what were the interconnectors between the Gardaí and other agencies feeding into this, to include, incidentally, the Department of Justice, to include, you know, other offices that would have looked at scenarios. So absolutely. I mean, do we have to have this again and again? We're having it again and again, constantly. And that's undermining constantly on a kind of a, you know, Groundhog Day basis, the confidence of the people and the system. So why does this have to keep on coming up again and again?
And it is coming up, Jim, isn't it, again and again? I mean, if I'm just, I just quote Judge Smithick, who reported towards the end of last year, he says in his one of his final paragraphs, the integrity of and confidence in an Garda Síochána can properly be maintained only if suggestions of inappropriate or illegal conduct by members are taken seriously, transparently and thoroughly investigated, and above all, not tolerated or ignored on the basis of some misguided sense of loyalty to the force or to its members.
It's absolutely going to happen if the fundamentals aren't addressed now, and the Whistleblower Act is the fundamental. They brought in this punitive law to stop guards talking. Maurice McCabe has basically ignored it. The Taoiseach said he spoke to the press, to politicians, as was his right. That's not quite true. If you're caught speaking to whistleblowing in the guards, your career's over. That's the belief. That's the way it is. And we're the only country in Europe doesn't have whistleblower legislation. The only country in the EU. Countries in Africa have the same Whistleblower Act as the UK has. Tanzania has that. We don't have it. We're a country steeped in the possession of secrets, and in doing that, you create the climate in which corruption happens, in which there's not necessarily malicious or criminal activity here, but there was a very serious mix-up. A very dangerous young man was allowed to be free. I don't know whether a commission of inquiry is going to take that issue and do anything with it, other than recommend that there be better information systems or something. We need the Whistleblower Act. Guards need to be,
so
as citizens, confident
that speaking
out. That
Enda Kenny announced today in terms of allowing Gardaí to complain directly to GSOC.
Yeah.
Is that a step in that direction?
It's a minor step in that direction. If guards encounter corruption or malpractice, they should be fully confident. It's their actual role. And if they don't do it, then there isn't really anybody else, that prepared or capable with the abilities to expose that. And I know from my experience with guards over the last years, particularly since this act came in, that they're often terrified to speak out, and I've come across some dreadful things and have written about them. But as I say, you always have the back of your mind, if someone is speaking to me, is that the end of their career? And that's the reality.
Dara Cleary.
Yeah, I mean, just GSOC at the moment hasn't even access to the Garda Pulse system, to the information system. And that has to change. If GSOC is to be powered up and given the kind of powers that it needs, then that's the first thing that needs to change. And then it also should be more built along the Police Ombudsman of Northern Ireland in terms of independence and independence of those working in it. To give it that kind of confidence, so that there's no sense in saying to a serving member of the force, you can go to GSOC if we don't change the car, if we don't change the makeup of GSOC, and don't change the resources that are available to them, because there isn't a lot of confidence within the actual members of the force in GSOC at the moment. So that has to change as well.
So the original legislation was very short-sighted.
Well, I think it was. I think it didn't probably... Well, clearly it was. You know, when you bring in that legislation to stop this from happening and this keeps happening, then it was. It didn't do what it said. And, this was not supposed to happen after Morris. That's what GSOC was set up to do. There was supposed to be a change of culture. Clearly there wasn't. And I think, as Frank has said, we have an opportunity now to go back and maybe look at the whole broad criminal law side of things to see does it need overhauling in this context.
Audrey, it's my understanding that in fact GSOC have been told that they can have access to the Garda Pulse system, which is very, very welcome, and I think it's very important that they have clear access to it, that there's not somebody standing looking over their shoulder looking at what they're doing, that they have full access to the Pulse system. I think it's an independent commission that I think any Garda out there who feels in the future that they have some complaint to make should feel confident in GSOC and being able to go to make that complaint. And indeed, if members of the public make a complaint, that they feel that they should be able to feel that their information they are giving is being held in a confidential manner and it's been investigated thoroughly.
So in light of that, Anne, what did you make of the transcript of the message, the communication, the directive, whatever you want to call it, delivered from Martin Callanan via a superintendent in Mullingar to Sergeant McCabe?
Well, there's some disagreement about that. And again, I think we're going to have to wait until we get the answers to the questions that will be asked, because some...
In light of what you were saying there about access to pulse and about whistleblowers feeling that they can report, etc., etc., we have the communication from Martin Callanan essentially telling Sergeant McCabe that he no longer has access to pulse, that those rights were being withdrawn from him because of his actions.
Well, I think that probably is wrong, but I'm talking here about the about GSOC being allowed access to the pulse system. But I think that is wrong, and the question is, why was he told that? I watched Primetime last night, and I watched Jim Wilson, you know, and other whistleblowers in other areas or other organisations. And these are people with families who feel that they have gone in good faith and made complaints or tried to make complaints to the highest level, that they weren't being listened to, that one of them was you know, forced. He felt himself that he could no longer stay in the organisation. You know, these people have families who are hurting because of this, and it has to be sorted out once and for all.
Did you view what that message from Martin Callanan as a directive to Maurice McCabe to cooperate with the O'Mahony inquiry?
I'm really not, you know, I can't comment on that, you know.
But did you read the transcript?
I haven't seen it, no.
You haven't
so
read
I,
it?
No, I haven't seen it. Okay. So I don't want to comment on it. But it's one of those... Again, it you know, there are different people saying different things, and I think we need to get to the truth.
Will you read it though in advance of tomorrow?
Oh,
because Alan Shatter is coming into the Dáil tomorrow, and presumably many people will question him on his statement in the Dáil last October, in which he said Maurice McCabe didn't cooperate.
Yeah, well, Maurice McCabe is saying that he did cooperate.
Well, he's saying he wasn't asked to.
Yes, but there is a difference of opinion. Now, the minister is coming into the Dáil tomorrow. It's going to be a long day, and, you know, various spokespersons and members will have the opportunity to ask the minister questions. And at the end of the debate, as far as I understand, he will answer those questions. And I will certainly read the transcript before I go in.
Okay, Darren.
Just one of the frustrating things about tomorrow, in case we start building it up into something, is that there's only actually 30 minutes, I understand, for questions at the end of it.
For questions,
and,
okay.
And, you know, the minister has shown himself to be a master of verbiosity without actually saying anything. So I think it would be far preferable if we just statements and questions, because there are so many issues that he has to answer, specifically about, you know, the department's handling of this issue, the department's handling of Maurice McCabe, what information is being released into the public, you know, and I think it would be far better format if we had specific questions to the minister rather
Does
than...
Does your party, Dara, still think he needs to retract and apologise for his comment last October?
Absolutely. You know, he came in and he quite, you know, he played the man, as is his style. But he played the man, and clearly...
But if he was told this by the commissioner or whoever else that Maurice McCabe didn't cooperate...
Well, the reality is he needs to clarify that. So he has to clarify the Dáil record, because he is the minister, he is the head of the department, he is the person who's responsible, and he made the comment. And he has to go in and apologise to Maurice McCabe and put it... If it's somebody else that told him, then he has to put that into context. But Maurice McCabe deserves his reputation... to be corrected in the record of the Dáil.
Do you agree with that, Anne? Because we're hearing tonight there's some, you know, talk that he may stick to his guns, if you want to use that phrase, and basically, you know, stand firm over what he said last October. Would you be happy with that if he did that without any clarification?
Well, maybe he said it in good faith. Maybe he is just acting and saying, you know, acting on the information that he was given. But I think Maurice McCabe does deserve an apology.
From who?
Well, from the minister, and from if the minister said it, if he was told that that was the, if he was told by the commissioner that that information was true and it wasn't true, well, then the commissioner needs to apologise. But hopefully we'll find out tomorrow.
Frank Buttermer, I know this is the minutiae which you spoke of earlier, but is this particular point important?
It's as important as any other point of minutiae. Can I just say, for example, that I just listening to the debate there as it's going on, politics goes on in the Dáil, not an awful lot else goes on there in terms of, you know, the reality of what we're talking about here. And, of course, people will point to score off each other, and that's fair enough. You know, that's the way that goes up there. You asked a question as to whether you could interpret what Commissioner Callanan said either way. I suspect you could. I suspect, therefore, that the reality is that Mr. Shatter received a briefing. He may have put an interpretation on something. The minutiae can be looked at in the Dáil tomorrow. I'm sure everybody will be well briefed up by then. My other comment that I would like to make is that it isn't, in a sense, like that there's a lack of legislation. We did have the Garda Síochána Act of 2005, which created structures which actually itself allowed persons to give information securely, and there were protections built in under, I think, Section 62. I learned this evening that the regulations which set up the whistleblower office, which are subsidiary regulations to primary legislation, were created in 2007. That also creates protections for whistleblowers, and indeed I learned this evening that there is a positive obligation on the Commissioner to ensure that there is not to be harassment or any form of misbehaviour to any member of an Garda Síochána who is a genuine whistleblower with a genuine message to convey. So what we're talking about here is, you know, not necessarily a lack of legislation, but really a kind of an interpretation or a view as to how the legislation is enforced by those who have positive obligations, you know, to carry out the terms of the legislation. I guess it might need some refinement or some adjustment. That's certainly my view. But an effort was made in 2005 to address these concerns, and another effort made in 2007. At the end of the day, it's really how people apply the legislation is the fundamental question. And as Judge Smithick identified in his recent tribunal report, it's got to do with culture. It's got to do with attitude. It's got to do with what view any given organisation takes of how it functions and what its obligations are, what its duties are in the interests of the people.
Do you agree, Jim?
I do. But the Section 62 starts off with the hobnailed boot of 7 years in prison and our 75...
There has to be a sanction if there's misbehaviour.
There was already sanctioned the Official Secrets Act.
Well, I mean,
this was on top of that.
Well, I appreciate that, but this was. I'm not championing anybody's cause here, but there has to be. If there's a Garda Síochána Act regulating the conduct of Gardaí, there has to be.
I agree, but there's already the Official Secrets Act, and very severe sentences under that. This was the effect this had was that that's the only bit the guards know about it. The 7 years in prison.
Well, incidentally, I agree with you that, and I learned again this evening, there was a positive obligation upon the commissioner of the time, and probably since then, to promulgate the whistleblower regulations and make sure that guards and civilian workers in an Garda Síochána were aware of it, understood it, etc. I actually would have wondered, I presume like a lot of other people, to what extent that positive obligation was ever, advanced.
I canvassed opinion widely in the guards about that, and not a single person, not a single guard I spoke to, had ever heard of the confidential recipient.
That was It's about culture. Hmm. It's about attitude. It's about what people want.
But it wasn't advertised. It was hidden. The only thing they knew about was the 7 years.
Well, we know it now.
Just.
Well, look, we will leave it there. This story is not going to go away, and we will be discussing it again on our programme Late Debate tomorrow night. For now, though, let me thank Solicitor Frank Buttermer joining us this evening from Cork. Thanks, Frank. And thanks too to Jim Cusack, security journalist with the Sunday Independent. Thanks to Fianna Fáil TD Dara Kaleri. And thanks too to Labour TD Anne Ferris. Late Debate is back at the usual time, 10 o'clock tomorrow night. Join us then if you can. Until then, from me and from all the team, good night.
The Late Debate, presented by Audrey Carvel, was produced by Donal O'Herlihy. The broadcast coordinator was Maeve Mooney. The researcher is Richie Byrne. And sound supervision tonight was by Richard McCullough.